Radio. It's a show with Trish McKnight, and this is show Survivor World every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. We like to open up the slate and welcome in survivors and talk about survivor issues. This is May, so happy May Day to everyone, May 1st, and it is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And our first guest this month, Michael Skinner, whose song you just heard, Brush Away Your Tears, happens to be my favorite one off of his new CD, Waiting on a Train. You'll find his links for Surviving Spirit and his music and Facebook. All of it is in our chat room, so please do check it out. But Michael is, I've spoken with him before, and he's definitely a strong voice in the mental health awareness arena, and looking past the medications, past the stamp of diagnosis, to see what the trauma is that lies underneath. So we're going to bring Michael up on the air. First of all, I do want to thank our May premier supporter, Ginger, who donated for our premium broadcasting. So we'll get her information out to you as soon as we can. So thanks, Ginger. Let's go ahead and get Michael up here. And let's get our show started on Survivor's World. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Trish.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yes, doing quite well.
Good.
How are things going for you? Things have been kind of quiet on the home front. I do see your posts every now and then. But all is going well, I hope, in your little corner of the world over there?
I think
over
so.
Over on the East Coast, yeah? Good.
No complaints. It's no life.
I mean, you know, what can we say? You just get up in the morning and you just keep on going, you know?
Right.
Of course, partially your tears, which you donated for us to use, which is fabulous. I just love it. And also, though, I've shared all the Surviving Spirit and the music links and the new CD link. But you're really focused in the mental health advocacy, speaking and bringing attention to those issues, correct?
I am. I pretty much focus my issue, you know, on trauma, abuse, and mental health challenges. So basically those three issues, and obviously, you know, trauma and abuse, mental health challenges. There's a pretty big umbrella there, but
oh, yeah, most definitely. There's a lot buried in there.
But I just, you know, the whole so many folks, you know, who've been what I've learned and just personal experience and just, you know, reading and just in my travels, how many folks who have dealt with trauma and abuse and they end up with these labels of, you know, I don't like the words mental illness, but they're used, and
right.
And it's just that stigma and discrimination, which, you know, keeps people back and keeps them down, and as opposed to embracing them and helping them to heal. And there's just so many ways to heal, and, you know, no one has all the answers, and I'm still looking for so many of them. But there's a lot of there's many ways to heal. And
there is. Do you find, even with all of your talent and what we hear in your music and in your expression, do you find that there's still those roller coaster days where, you know, where what something that may work on this day and on this emotion, the next day you're left with something else and you got to find another resource that's going to help you deal with whatever you're facing with at that time? It's really kind of a roller coaster ride is what I think of whenever I think of how our days go.
I've used that same term in the past
a
lot.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, yeah, the roller coaster ride through hell.
yes.
But what I, for myself, I have found that, you know, I've been healing, and I call it a healing journey, and everyone has, you know, the different words that they want to use, and that's okay. But for me, it is a healing journey. And I, for myself, I've come to believe, given all the respective trauma and abuse that I've experienced, I think it's going to be a lifetime of healing, and that's okay. And but, you know, I have great days, but there are, but alluding to answer your question, there are days that something comes up, and I'm not even sure what's triggering it. And, yeah, it can set me back. But what I've, what has helped me is, you know, learning mindfulness, and instead of fighting it, now I just accept it, and I say, okay, you know, I don't like it, and I can be, you know, kicking and screaming, you know, figuratively about it, but I'll just do my level best to accept that, okay, today's going to be a depressing day or a sad day, something's angered me, or, you know, and sometimes there's an emptiness, there's just an emptiness or a loss or grieving, but what I've come to learn, Trish, is that it will pass, whereas before I used to fight it and, you know, do everything I could to try to get it to get better quicker, and now I just, I accept it, so, okay, it's just part of the, it's just part of life, and not, and, you know, and to just be with it and accept it as best I can. Doesn't mean I like it, but...
Right, right. And it is kind of how we have to go through the process, because we have to first understand, I think, how the wounds have left their scars on us emotionally, physically, reactively, instinctively, and understand, you know, how the PTSD makes me react, how the depression makes me act, how the flashbacks or the nightmares or whatever it may be and how they affect you. Because I think each one of us, the trauma is different. Our perceptions are different. So the way that it impacts us in the aftermath is also going to be different.
Right. And and along those lines with what you're saying, I agree. And you know, that statement, you know, walk a mile in someone's shoes. And a lot of us, we have, you know, common traumas or abuse or mental health challenges. But yet, our own story is unique. And I don't know all of the hurts and suffering that you've gone through and vice versa. You know, we don't have time,
right,
you know, and in a one-hour show.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And, but I do get, I take exception. I do get angry at those who, you know, if they're in a better place of healing, or, you know, maybe they've had less impact in their life. Maybe they've had a better, more supportive community around them. Maybe they've known, you know, loved. I mean, there's some of us who've grown up not knowing the love of parents. And
ever,
you know,
not ever having a kind person in,
right,
in our world.
And that is definitely going to affect you a lot differently than someone else. So I get really upset with those who, because they're doing well or they're doing this, and this is right within not just the treatment provided, but also amongst, you know, peers who can, they can really end up hurting fellow survivors in so many ways. And, you know, I just think sometimes the ego gets in the way, or, you know, I can't read someone's mind or why they say or do what they do, but to me it's also a form of arrogance, because, I mean, all our stories are different, and, you know, maybe I'm a little bit ahead in certain things, and I'm not where someone else is, but that just really bothers me, because I've met a lot of folks who are broken, and I'm sad for that. And so what I try to do is just, you know, in my little community, or what I do reaching out through music or speaking or writing, is sharing resources, because I don't have all the answers, but there's a lot of people and a lot of resources, you know, there's organizations that can help people get to healing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, just as much with all the information that you share on Surviving Spirit, and check the drop-down menus when you click on that site, because you'll find different categories of information on their website. You know, the resources page that I built on Butterfly Dreams, of course, I have you and, you know, the Surviving Spirit organization on there, because I do send a lot of people that way. There is no one that's got all the answers for everyone, and it's got to be like a team effort. I give credit a lot to those who don't have any organization. They're just survivors. They have blogs. They do articles. They do great posts. They do poetry. I call them independent advocates who really just, I mean, every single day they're out there. Mary Graziano, Patricia Singleton, Stacey Joe. I mean, the list goes on and on of those that share everything to get it circling around the net so that somebody out there, I met a new acquaintance yesterday at a training seminar, and she said to me, don't give up because you never know whose life you're going to touch.
Right. Yeah, I hear you on that. And I'll echo with what you were sharing earlier. My terminology is I call them the unsung heroes of life. And you're right. There's just so many. There's hundreds, there's thousands of people out there doing wonderful things, whether it's a radio show like this, the blog, an article, they're involved in a peer support group, an advocacy organization, whatever it is, or even on Facebook, you know, people are sharing resources and different...
All over, yeah. Fabulous. What do you think about all of the energy that's come forth lately? Because I know 3 years ago, there was not... When I first jumped on the computer to start searching out and start trying to connect with others like myself, and finally found the words to say all that had happened. What do you think of where it's at now compared to where it was 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I think there's definitely been more of an explosion, if you will, that there are more folks, there are more people speaking out. And, I don't see Facebook as a... it's a means to an end. I don't think it's the end all, but it's definitely helped with, connecting people. But we need other ways to connect, because unfortunately I also feel that sometimes people hide behind the internet, behind websites, and we still need to connect on a personal level and not just on emails and websites. They're a great tool, but yes, there's
it's
a lot
networking.
More, and that's great. But we still need that human connection, and that's unfortunately one of the things, that's been hurt and damaged the most. Something I won't say the most, but a lot. If you've been impacted by trauma, abuse, or some mental health challenge, because there's still the stigma and discrimination around all of those issues. You're not allowed to talk about them really. In our own little world, yes, we talk about it and stuff, but there's still a huge section of society that just does not want to hear these stories.
Absolutely.
And you opened up with my song and thank you for using that, but that I voiced that in that song, that really people don't want to hear it.
Exactly. And it is that society saying brush away your tears, and yes, life is still there and you are still strong. And that's true, we are still here. And we do keep getting stronger, and we will achieve. But as long as we feel kind of ostracized for what happened to us, not anything that we've done, but for what happened to us, I think that's going to be the big blockade. It really bothers me that our society has come full circle to accept absolutely everything. Every other challenge we've come across, AIDS and cancer and, the list goes on and on, gay marriage and so on and so forth. But for some reason, whenever it comes to talking about the harm that sexual abuse and exploitation and trafficking and physical brutality do to our children, that's when society draws the line and says, nope, you're not going to tell me how to raise my kids.
And the other unfortunate piece to that is there's still this mentality of blame the victim, and that is still present, and trying to...
We saw that actually came out. Did you see that in the Steubenville rape case?
In the which one?
The young girl who was recently raped in Steubenville, where they videotaped it, and they still blamed her.
Right, and that's right. How you can blame someone for rape is beyond me, but people do. So trying to change that mindset, I think we've come a long way, so I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I'm also you know, my feet, they do touch the ground. I'm, you know, I do touch upon reality that that is still something that we need to work on. We're making great strides, and I see, you know, all the work that others, yourself, myself, and, you know, other organizations and people are doing. I look at it as, you know, paving the road, and we're following in the footsteps of those who've come before us, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, we're reaching more and more people, and, you know, younger folks are going to, you know, take up that baton to carry this forward and just keep taking it to new levels and to break down these stigmas and discrimination and just blame the victim baloney.
Exactly. And, you know, I recently, well, a while back, with the mental health advocacy, I did an article called The Battle in the Aftermath, and it refers to all the support and admiration that our war heroes and veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and all of the support they're getting for their PTSD and anxiety issues and their depression issues and kind of loss of life that they're grieving over what they've been through. But yet, the National Institute of Mental Health, the Center for Disease and Control, they've both got reports published referring to that adult survivors of child sexual abuse deal with much the same issues, and in fact, by the time they reach adulthood, are just as much affected with PTSD, depression, and anxiety as were veterans.
Right.
But yet we turn away from them.
Right, and that's a sad statement on society. But again, that I think that ties in with, you know, the blame the victim, and that, you know, and the mentality of just get over it. It's in the past. It's behind you. Move
exactly.
on. And you can't. You know, I just wish more people would understand that they're starting to recognize, and thankfully, you know, as you were alluding to about the veterans coming back and what they're struggling with, and it's about time. But we also need that paradigm shift to. That it encompasses all folks, especially those who are childhood abuse survivors, whatever the form of abuse, because it's going to leave a serious impact upon your life and in your health.
Most definitely. And, you know, we end up with physical issues as well as the mental health issues. That even with the physical issues, you know, you've got not only injuries, but then you've got fibromyalgia, which is now linked to the fight-or-flight risk.
Right.
You've got high risk of heart disease and lung disease because most of us are smokers or have been smokers. You didn't follow the path of the drug and alcohol addiction, luckily. You kind of got absorbed in your music, but you dealt with a lot of anger as you went through, correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, with the music, and then as a drummer in hard rock bands, I was able to channel that in a positive manner. But there was a part of my life when I was younger that I did drink too much. I am not an alcoholic because I can still have a beer. So I am a, you know, social drink, if you will. But I was in one too many fights, and it was just my rage coming out and, you know, going into all the wrong places looking to vent that anger and frustration that should have been vented at my parents and not at, you know, others. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we sometimes hurt the wrong people because of that anger. And, you know, it takes a lot to work through all of that. I'm still dealing with different anger issues that come up about different things. And I know that many of the people who connect with me and, you know, message me, what have you, they say the same thing. You know, I'm so angry, I can't get over this, and how do I move forward? What are some things that you share for those knowing what you've come through and what you dealt with?
Well, again, music, and I can't overstate that, how helpful that was for me. You know, nature, being out in the woods, you know, walking, exercising, you know, eating healthy, you know, staying connected with folks, and yet, you know, I'm the first who wants to isolate when I'm not feeling so well, but pushing myself as best I can to reach out to others. You know, the anger issues and the rage, as a young person, as I mentioned, drumming, but also the martial arts. I used to box. I wrestled. And, you know, these were constructive ways to vent your anger in a healthy
way. A lot of great ways, too, yeah. I think you mentioned martial arts. You know, my son, when he was 14, and they had seen a lot of violent things when they were younger, living in the relationships that I had. But I think whenever he went in and started his martial arts and the discipline that's required for that and the teaching of respect mm-hmm. and honor, I think that that really geared him through his entire teens and into college when it really got his black belt.
Right.
I think it's really, because then he was never a troubled kid. He never gave me any problems. So to me, you know, I whenever I think about, you know, well, parents say, what am I going to do with this kid? To me, it's like, well, get them involved in something like this, you know, and see how this works. Maybe you're the wrong person to be teaching them the respect and honor and discipline thing, because sometimes as a parent, we have issues that we can't deal with. Did you? You have kids, is that correct? No?
Yeah, I have five daughters, but that, you know, that's still a
touchy subject. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
only because of going through a really tough divorce, and you know, my ex of 21 years, you know, blaming me for the post-traumatic stress and the depression came upon me and really did a number on me, and it was. And, you know, she used the mental illness piece against me in the divorce court proceedings and never a history of violence or abuse at her or the kids, but yet just that stigma and discrimination and those two words, mental illness. And that's why, you know, that really, it's one of the things that helped propel me to keep going as an advocate, because I have just met so many other folks who've gone through the same things, male and female, and I was just sharing, you know, talking with a friend today, you know, her struggles, you know, with her ex, you know, keeping the kids from her and the alienation because of her struggles as a survivor.
Right.
It's just, it hurts. But, you know, and that's, so when folks say to just get over it and heal and all that stuff, how, especially coming from those who haven't had children, that angers me, because as much as the child abuse that I experienced, which was pretty brutal and sadistic and perverted, that hurt, and that did a number on me. But I'll tell you, the loss of my children in my life, that has been had the most profound impact upon me in terms of pain and grieving and suffering. And I, you know, I've gotten on with my life. But when you were talking earlier, you know, that shadow of pain, that darkness, that does creep into my life. And that, you know, there is a sadness. There's a hole that was cut out of me with that. And you know, to just say, get over that and move on. People haven't a clue what they're talking about. So, again, there's so many reasons why I do what I do. And, again, it's just not my story. That if it was just one isolated case, that'd be one thing. But there's too many of us who've gone through this.
Oh, millions and millions of us, you know. And even in relation to parenting and divorces, and, you know, that's my... The kids' dad packed up the kids and took off with them for 4 years. It took me to get them back. And his whole thing every time I took him to court was all of my dysfunctional issues. But my children were loved and happy and well taken care of. And, you know, they were my world. They were my center. So I completely understand, and my heart
right.
goes out to you and anyone that's gone through that, because it does rip out your soul.
Yeah, you know, because I always felt that the child abuse that I experienced, it cut out a piece of my spirit, my soul, something. I always felt like there's been a piece of me missing. And I've, you know, I've done a lot of really good things in life to fill, you know, a lot of the empty spaces, but there's still that hole. And then, you know, the loss of the kids, that just made that hole a little bit bigger. And again, you know,
it's like twisting the knife in the back, you know.
Right, right. So, and you know, so you know, we were talking earlier about the martial arts and stuff. You know, people can turn to sports. You know, there's all kinds of creative arts endeavors. You know, there's just so many ways, whatever, you know that phrase, you know, whatever floats your boat, I would honestly, I say people turn to that which is inside of you that you want to do. Follow your dreams, you know, and your aspirations. It doesn't mean you have to become rich and successful, but you'll be successful in doing what you wish, what you like to do, whatever that may be. I write a lot of songs, and I joke that, you know, a lot of them are sad, but it's my way of getting out my sadness, you know, so someday
working
I'll...
Working through this process, that's right.
Right.
Some days you'll give us happy music, you know, I mean,
well,
I
do have some. I do have several, and but there's still a good chunk of them that are sad.
You know, I like Joy, I like Keys, Songs for the Keys to Your Life.
Yeah, the long title, that's a short song.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, I mean, those are two more joyful and brighter side of life kind of
mm-hmm.
songs. So, you know, it's all good.
Right. No,
go ahead.
No, I have a fair amount. I have love songs. I have ballads, you know, that are just really nice, you know. And I've written songs to significant others that I care deeply for, so you know it's there. But you know, but
I like your music. I enjoy it, and the little tidbits that you can listen to for the Waiting on the Train CD on your music site. You've
mm-hmm.
got those little tidbits of songs.
Right.
I like listening to those little tidbits.
Oh, good.
And it's just a variety of them. You can connect with so many of them. There's,
right.
I don't think there's not a one of them that doesn't bring up something inside of me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, they're posted in 2-minute clips, and if folks wish to, they can, you know, obviously they can buy the CD, or they can buy the individual song through a variety of, you know, those digital domains. You know, my songs are on iTunes and other places, so if they hear a song that they like, because, you know, I've got 3 albums out, they can purchase the song individually. And the links are there at the website. So there's my little marketing push.
Hey, more than happy to have it on here. Absolutely. Let's get into when you're out speaking for the mental health advocacy. Let me ask, what do you see in our system today, which is, to me, so totally screwed up, that the people that need the help can't get in there to get it? Do you have any thoughts on this? Anything to share?
I know people are always talking about, you know, budgetary restraints and constraints and cutbacks and all this other stuff. It's just not at the top of the agenda. It's an afterthought. And I also feel, I understand with a lot of folks, you know, they take certain medications, it helps them. I just feel that it's been too much emphasis on, you know, over-prescribing of medicine. And I still think it's, you know, that one-to-one, you know, peer support, counseling, group activities or group counseling that's really going to connect us as people. And this reliance upon just medication, I think that was a quick way for so many of them to just back out of helping folks, but it's also, you know, you just follow the money. You know, the pharmaceutical companies are making lots of money with this, and then, you know, what's happening? How are these doctors that are seeing someone for 5, 10, or 15 minutes really knowing what's going on in your life and then just prescribing you some medication? Again, but I always throw this caveat out that I'm not all against anti-medication, but I am against the over-prescribing and just as a, you know, the placebo effect, just over-reliance upon them. So I think that's part of it. It's not all of it, but and I think this the mentality creeps into that, you know, you should just get over this, and, you know, people don't want to deal with it. So anything to do with mental health, you know, the money for that is, you know, it's short. The dollars are too short for what's needed.
Exactly. And you know, pardon me, talking about those medications and those doctors that see you for 15 minutes, I've been seeing the same psychiatrist for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've been seeing my marvelous therapist who has brought me, thankfully, through the very dark trauma recovery and being able to deal with it in a positive way. I don't know what I'd do without her. I still see her once a month.
Good.
But when I see my psychiatrist, that's exactly what he does. He spends 15 minutes with me. Now, all my life, I can't say all my life. I will say all of my safe life, because at the age of 37, I finally became safe. Doctors have been trying to give me antidepressants. You've been through so much, you need antidepressants. But all of the antidepressant medication turn me inside out and react differently with me and make me into somebody that I don't know, my kids don't know. Just really crazy stuff. So I got to where I told them, no more. The antidepressants, no. I will deal with the depression rather than take that medication because I can't do that. And I think that we do, in some sense, need to become our own personal health advocate because nobody knows better than you what you need and how medication makes you feel. And what works for you and what doesn't. And when you know this and you go to your doctor with it and you talk to them about it, they will work with you. 5 years ago, I was taking 4 1-milligram Xanax a day. And I am now down to 1.5 milligram a day. So I've worked my way through that and I've lowered my doses, but I think that we've got to take that control of that to help ourselves, unless you're talking serious issues that, require Haldol or something like that. But I think for the PTSD and the anxiety and the depression, because once they put that tag on you, there's 20 different antidepressants, and it's all about the drug company.
I agree with you in learning to become your own advocate, and there's a lot of organizations and peer support groups that will help you with this, and then also in just researching through books and websites and the internet. But when you're down and out and you're severely depressed or you're struggling with post-traumatic stress and you're going to see the professional doctor, that in of itself is overwhelming because they have the power that a lot of them are not treating you as a human being. They're treating you as some entity that's some broken person that they need to fix with medication. And again, for some folks that can help, but I know for myself, and it took several years for me to realize that they were doing me a number on me because they were toxic to my body. And I've survived a couple suicide intent attempts. I don't think I would have done that if I think the medication that I was on, they have warning signs that increases suicidality and ideation. And
absolutely.
I can still have thoughts about, wanting out of this world, but I don't act upon it and all the rest of it. It was toxic to my system, but, try saying that to some of these psychiatrists, to them I was just the mentally ill patient, they're treating you like a child. So I agree, you have to become your advocate, but boy, it can be a really hard process.
It's challenging.
It is
challenging.
So
do you think that perhaps they focus more on the they're supposed to be the psychiatrists that help you work through these issues, these pains and these traumas. But I don't think, I've never met a psychiatrist, quote unquote, which psychiatrists do not really do therapy sessions. That's more psychologists and therapists. But the doctors who prescribe the medication, the psychologists, I've never met one that ever questioned the underlying issues of what was causing my PTSD issues and my anger issues. Even as recently as 2 weeks ago when I went in and I told him, God, I feel so angry, I'm so frustrated, and I just can't work through. through this. He looks at me and just kind of, well, I don't know. I guess you'll, you know, adjust your medication when you need to. And I'm thinking, really? That's what you got for me.
Right. You're
the professional, and that's what you got for me. You know, I find better resources through all of the connections of advocates and everything that is out there on the net and studying it myself.
There are some good psychiatrists, who are aware of trauma. And, you know, there's some leading folks out there who are doing good work, but they don't really have the time for the one-on-one counseling. That's because that whole model has changed, if you will. But I have found, and this is just personal experience, and then also from the shared stories of friends and other people that I've met, the psychiatrists that they end up meeting or being with or being served, you know, there's all this, you know, the buzzwords now about trauma-informed care, and a lot of them sign on to this, but they're just talking out one side of their mouth because they're really not learning about what trauma really does to you and abuse, and they're still treating people with the bipolar and the schizophrenia model, and that's just, you know, that's my personal opinion upon it. I'm not saying I'm absolutely correct on all that, but
I agree.
I have found it more often than not, and I, you know, folks are grieving or they're struggling with, you know, cancer issues and they're depressed because they have cancer and they go see the psychiatrist and all they want to do is, you know, over-medicate them instead of looking at the underlying issues. Well, maybe they need some support. Maybe they need some financial help. Maybe they need some counseling, and, you know, not so much.
Absolutely.
At the same time, I don't want to paint everyone with that same brush. I'm very mindful of that because there are some really good folks out there. But unfortunately, for far too many of us, It takes a while before we find some really good treatment providers and people out there. It's a learning curve, and it can be a slow road to find these folks. And so, you know, through peer support and different, what, you know, just whatever we do, maybe, you know, through radio shows and blogs and articles and just listening to other people, because there are good folks out there, but, you know, unfortunately, too many of them, you know, they end up hurting people. I feel so many of us struggle and we stay, you know, stuck, if you will, because then we have to recover from how we've been mistreated in the mental health system, you know.
Yes. Or even with physical health issues, mm-hmm. that are that you're struggling with because of what you've been through. You know, maybe it's not just the trauma, the emotional trauma that you suffer through, but, you know, combined with the physical issues, if you're battling both sides of that. You know, I was in bed for almost a year trying to figure out what was going on with my spine. And I don't know how many days, you know, I woke up and knew that I could barely move and just kind of looked up at the sky and, you know, just please, just get it over. Just take me now. I'm done. I've had enough. I can't deal with this anymore. And, you know, finally getting on the right treatment and the right physical therapy and the right level of pain medications and getting things balanced out, it has worked out to be very positive, of course, with, you know, where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my goodness, you know, it gets so difficult to battle through our healthcare system, period. And I think that the mental health care, do you think that with all of the attention related to what our politicians are attaching to the gun violence and the gun bill, gun ban bill, do you think that there's going to be any kind of upcoming changes in attention to the mental health issues because of all of this?
I don't feel positive about that because what I see is just a spin. And again, I'm not into, you know, the gun control. It's missing the mark because all the, you know, it's delved into this, you know, the mentally ill. Well, most people who are struggling with some mental health challenge are the victims of crime or homicide victims. It's a small percentage that are committing these crimes, and there are more murders and crimes committed every day that, you know, that don't make the press, but then, you know, some person does some horrible act and does hurt or kill many, and they're just hiding behind that mental illness. And I think it's just, to me, it's setting us back because it's the stigma and discrimination rearing its ugly head again. And all you have to do is read the headlines. You know, you hear these politicians and even some of the people in the media that they just, they keep perpetuating this myth that we need to fear people that are, you know, again, quote, mentally ill. So I, myself personally, I think it's setting us back, and it has really saddened me on a personal level and also on a professional level. We've already got so many battles to fight, and this is just really setting us back. And, you know, I'm not alone in this because, you know, I'm on a lot of listservs for advocacy organizations, and you're just hearing this over and over again. The good news is there are folks and there are organizations that are speaking out against this, but, boy, it's to me it's done us some serious harm.
Exactly. I so agree because, I believe that it has a lot to do with attaching another blame to the person who is hurting.
Right.
You know, when you look at what happened up in Connecticut, and to me, you know, the mom that knew that this boy was having trouble or that he was slightly autistic or Asperger's disease or whatever, said, why did you give him, or, you know, why weren't all of these assault weapons locked up and stored somewhere? I don't have any problem with people owning guns.
Mm-hmm.
But it's responsible gun ownership,
right,
to me, that comes into play. You know, and going out drinking and shooting, that's, you know.
The unfortunate thing about, though, what you're bringing up, though, is that this person did this horrible crime. And
yes.
Crimes to all these, you know, poor people, these innocent people. But there's a backlash, and the rest of us get labeled with that brush. We get painted with that brush, and that hurt. You know, that really, it sets us back in so many ways. And it's just, you know, so the spin that some of these, you know, politicians and media and some of these gun ownership groups, you know, such as the NRA, what they're doing. Because look at the words they're using: crazy, you know, lunatics, and you and I are not crazy, and we're not lunatics, and we struggle with stuff, but we're getting lumped in that same thing. So if we go into a courtroom for something else, or you go see a doctor, and you disclose that, oh, yeah, I deal with depression, or I have post-traumatic stress, unless they're really above the curve, you know, they're going to be treating us differently.
Absolutely. They're going to say, okay, all right, these are the bad people. These are the people that go berserk and kill people, you know, and there's a whole different level to that, to go and act on something like that. It's really tragic. It's very tragic. We will go ahead and start gearing our conversation down a little bit as we prepare for the last 10 minutes of the show here. By the way, I want to let you know that the chat room is just so busy with chatter and talking about how the different medications and what actually works for them. And, you know, the conversation is definitely rolling here with everyone.
Good.
I just wanted to let you know. Yes.
Well, thank you. I wasn't sure if I should have clicked on the site and hung on to it because I wanted to, but I was afraid that if I was linked into the site that maybe I'd mess up the phone connection or whatever, but I would love
to. No. You're always more than welcome whenever you, anytime you want to jump on the chat room, please do. I'd love to have you.
How do I access that?
You go to the show page link.
Yeah.
And over in the right upper corner, it should say sign in. You can use your Facebook ID or other social ID. So you sign in. And as you scroll to the bottom of the page, the chat room is right there, and then you can just start being active with everybody else.
Cool.
So really
people are talking about this then?
Absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
We've got about 10 people in here just chattering up a storm about, you know, different things they went through and different medications and the isolating and physical symptoms of the anxiety and the Paxil and just all kinds of things that are really going through. So it's really good. I'd love to see chatter like that as we're talking because it really means that people are sharing their thoughts, which is fabulous to me. Yes. I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you.
Now, because you gain a lot here. When you go out as you are trying to reach out and trying to explain to others what we deal with and what it's like to be us, what is it that you hope that they learn from your speaking or from your music or from the many other voices that are talking right now?
Well, first and foremost, when I present, when I speak or perform, well, usually I am performing songs, but you know, even when I speak, I always introduce myself as my name and who I am as a person and all the things that I love to do. You know, I'm a friend, I'm a boyfriend to my girlfriend, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. You know, I'm a musician, I'm a songwriter, I'm a writer, I love to hike, I love to swim, I love coffee, I love pizza. I'm all these other many, many things as we all, you know, I'm a human being first. That's what I strive, and I hope I'm answering, that's what you're asking, because I want to show that I'm a human being first. And oh, by the way, I deal with some trauma and abuse and mental health challenges, but that's the result of what happened to me in childhood and then later on in life with some other struggles and issues. And that doesn't make me less of a person. I'm actually a pretty good person. So that's what I try to show. And that's what I, at the end of the day, that I'm hoping other folks who are struggling with their own challenges, that they learn to recognize that they're a human being first. They're not a bipolar. They're not a schizophrenic. They're not a PTSD. They're not a depressive. They're a human being first and foremost. And oh, by the way, you deal with some health issues, but you know, we're human beings first that are capable of so many things. And that's really what I'm trying to do, Trish, is you know, and sharing hope, healing, and help in however way that I can, whatever way.
Absolutely. Ah, I couldn't have put it better. It's such excellent words to explain it. You know, we are human beings that, you know, we love all of these other things just like everybody else does. We have this whole other life around it.
Mm-hmm.
And these other things did happen to me, but I don't, although they're part of me, they're not who I am.
Right.
You know, who I am is the chick that likes to get on the back of a Harley and take off with Robbie for the day. Who I am is the girl who likes to talk with others about the issues and do the radio shows, and I love my puppy, and I enjoy cleaning house, and I enjoy doing gardening and whatever little things I can do to put happiness and peace in my life. That's what I enjoy, and that's what I'm about. And I think giving that back and helping other people kind of find their happy place, it's a great feeling to know that you can touch their lives and help someone see that they have value.
Right.
They, you know, just because this happened to you, it and those people that hurt you may have tried to strip away all that you are, but in truth, what you are is still in there. You just got to find it.
Right.
And it'll be okay. Now, is there any last things that we've got, like, 4 minutes? Is there any last thoughts, any last contact information, anything at all that you'd like to share?
Well, I would ask that folks please visit my website to learn some more about me. There's articles, there's my music, and just who I am as a human being. And I'm all, you know, hopefully we'll have it updated soon, but there's still a lot of information there. That's you know, www.mskinnermusic.com. Then also to visit the Surviving Spirit website, and then all they need to do is Google that, and they'll find us. But that's you know, Surviving Spirit, all one word .com. And you know, we send out a pretty good newsletter once a month. It's full of resources. I've been working most of the day on the May issue, which will focus on Mental Health Awareness Month, and there's just a lot of great resources, then, you know, go to the website. You can sign up for the newsletter via the Contact Us. There's resources there. There's links to all kinds of, you know, what have you, creative works, you know.
Oh, helpful. That's awesome.
So, you know, and again, thanks for having me. And folks, just, you know, believe in yourself. And you know, we've been talking about a lot of tough stuff, and this stuff is hard, but we do heal and we do move on, and just, you know, that's all I can really say.
Yeah, you know, we just got to try to find those happy moments and absorb them, I think, as much as possible, and let those happy moments kind of rebuild that place inside of you, that dark hole. And I think that's how I see things, is those happy thoughts are kind of filling up that dark hole, that emptiness, and I can feel myself coming back to life again, and it's amazing.
Good.
And, you know, it's a journey. It is definitely a healing journey and a life journey, one that I will be dealing with, I'm sure, for probably the rest of my years, but I think it's what we can do here and now that's really going to make a difference.
Yeah, and if there's a quote that I could leave you with, I love this
sure,
one.
Sure,
very
please.
Simple, from Hubert Humphrey, who was the vice president many years ago. And his quote was, "The greatest healing therapy is friendship and love." And I agree with that so much. And, you know, so, you know.
Oh, what a nice quote to end on. I really, really like that.
Okay
everyone. We're going to let
you.
Michael go. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that we got you to kick off the month. It's just fabulous.
Well, thanks for having me. Take care, all.
You take care, and hope to have you again. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. Great show. We are going to call it a night. And I just love all the chitter-chatter that's been going on. And I hope that everybody does work through that process. Patricia Singleton says it best, learning to love yourself is about putting yourself, your care, your needs first. We are taught as abused children that we came last if we were acknowledged at all. So acknowledge yourself, validate yourself, comfort yourself, be gentle with yourself, but don't give up on yourself. So tomorrow night we have the Magdalene Laundries Good Shepherd School with Jerome Elam and the Three Lady Survivor. And then next week, we will be going back to just two shows a week. Yay, I get a breather. This has been a fabulous month. It's been a very, very busy month. I start the DHHS training next week, which is a 40-hour training process to go and work with women in the shelters and so forth. So that's going to be taking up a lot of time. But I really just appreciate everyone being here. Ginger, thank you so very much for the May donation to keep our premiere programming. So we got to get together. We got to do your commercial, let you share your special message out there. Lynn, you will be joining me again on the radio. And I believe, my dear, you are scheduled for the 15th. So we will be having Lynn Tolson on. And the rest of our month, if we do not have a guest planned already, we are having a Play May month. You're going to be the host. You're going to call in, pick a topic, and while I man the controls and we discuss it out, you're going to be taking on the conversations and the chitter-chatter. So I think it'll be a great way to play, and I want to keep the conversations light. So think about something you want to bring to the air, and let's have some fun with it. So that starts up next Wednesday. We have, on the 8th, we have an open night, so everybody get ready. And have a good one, everyone. God bless, and do take care of yourself. Love yourself, and find your value. I so appreciate you being here. Live strong, fly free, enjoy, and sweet butterfly dreams. Bye-bye. Strong, fly free, enjoy, and sweet butterfly dreams. Bye-bye. Strong, fly free, enjoy, and sweet butterfly dream. Bye-bye. Strong, fly free, enjoy, and sweet butterfly dream. Bye-bye.